Strong Putin sits at the hotel bar of Trump Tower wearing nothing but a trench coat and satin Speedo. He sips his dirty martini, nervously tapping his fingers to the tune of For the Love of Money, The Apprentice's Season 1 theme song. He is waiting for something, or is it someone? The bartender gives him a sultry look. She's usually not attracted to her repressed patrons, but it's rare to find a man so intense, pounding cocktails on a Tuesday afternoon. Maybe it's his soulless eyes, or his intimidating silence. But the bartender knows Strong Putin is different. The two exchange eye contact as the air swells with lust. Then suddenly, the bar phone rings. She hurries to pick it up, repeating yes several times before hanging up.
A man named John Miller, not to be confused with Donald J. Trump, is ready for you,
she reports to Strong Putin. The mysterious stranger downs his dirty martini and leaves 7 ruble on the bar.
That's not how much alcohol costs,
the bartender calls, but Strong Putin is long gone. That is, if he ever really was there. Strong Putin briskly walks up all 35 flights of the hotel stairs, his heart beating like a war drum and his mouth dried from expectation. He gets to the penthouse suite. A racist butler guards the door.
We meet again, Strong Putin.
Da!
Said the racist butler.
Da!
Said Strong Putin. The racist butler peels back the ornate doors to a room so gauche it's fit for Liberace. A golden rug in the shape of a toupee lined the floor. Mounted heads of Tammy Lee, Bowie Hogg, and Bill Rancic, forgotten stars of unscripted television's past, adorned the 15-foot marble walls. A full-length mirror covered the entirety of the ceiling. It was a wonderland of seduction and distaste.
John Miller or Donald Trump?
Whispered Strong Putin in a croon so sweet that the history between the old lovers permeated the air.
Both!
Yelled Big Trump. The blinds were drawn. The rose-gold sun kissed Big Trump's hairless thighs. Putin slowly unbuttoned his trench coat. His pectorals were covered with the silver coat of a man that knew famine, pain, and KGB state secrets.
My desires are...
Strong Putin whispered.
Unconventional.
Lust tingles the grandiose room like an August breeze. The two share a brave stare.
I have the most unconventional desires. You wouldn't believe it. Everyone agrees that I'm the most unconventional man with the most unconventional desires in the world. Ask anyone you know. They'll say, Big Trump is unconventional.
Big Trump screams in one foul breath. Strong Putin presses a cold finger across Big Trump's lips. Big Trump flickers his black tongue like a viper, coating Strong Putin with saliva.
I don't speak what you're speaking. This is America. We speak English here.
Big Trump retorts, pointing to his Build the Wall tattoo. Suddenly, the air deflates. The room feels as sterile as a 72-year-old billionaire. Trump has pinched a Russian nerve. Strong Putin fumbles for his trench coat and bolts for the gilded doors. A single icy stare, and then...
No.
Big Trump insists,
You Russians... You're a bunch of sensitive criminals. How are you going to be a world leader if you cry like a baby? Wah!
The door slams.
I have blue balls.
Big Trump moans, grasping at his tiny, tiny, tiny manhood.
If I may be of service, master,
inquires the racist butler, rubbing Lubriderm between his decrepit fingers.
I would never have sex with an employee unless they are a contestant on the ultimate merger, the apprentice, or Miss Universe that needs to further her career.
Very well.
The racist butler pulls out an X-Acto knife, prepared to disembowel himself in the traditional Japanese seppuku. At that very moment, the telephone rings.
Hello?
Answers the racist butler. A long pause. He hangs up. Racist butler returns to Big Trump.
Strong Putin is stuck in U.S. customs and needs to seduce his way out.
Firstly, I don't make love. I get freaky,
declares Big Trump as the racist butler helps him put on his girdle.
Wait, you speak Russian?
To be continued.
And that was a Trump Putin erotic fan fiction theater. Narration by Legs Malone.
Hey.
Hello. Putin by Faceboy.
Da.
Bartender and racist butler by Femme Appeal.
Who dat?
And I'm Velocity Child. I was Big Trump. Welcome to Fallen Woman.
Oh, hey, sorry. The erotic fan fiction is still very present in my mind.
Everyone's a little dewy.
Good evening. I'm definitely not dewy. I am a dewy. I am the opposite of dewy.
Dry as a bone.
But I am so grateful in these times for creativity and a humorous take on some pretty freaky shit.
Yeah, I feel pretty closed off in my downstairs mouth.
Yes.
What? Okay.
It's been really hard for him to masturbate since the election.
That's true.
It's still, the saga actually still continues. It's still been a struggle for him to, like, you know, pull one off.
I know many people who are having difficulty enjoying life right now. I mean, Jesus Christ, the day after the election, New York City was silent.
So
that silence continued, too.
My commute was like everybody's puppy had died.
That's a good,
a
good metaphor. I heard somebody in my building said that it reminded them of when JFK was shot. It was that same feeling of, like, mourning and shock.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I have 4 partners, and I have not had sex since the election.
That's a lot of admin, Faceboy. How do you do it?
What?
It's a lot
admin,
of 4
partners, that's a lot.
Lots of emails, lots of texts,
that's, you know,
lots of
they're
calendars.
All, they're all very busy people.
Oh, well, that's a blessing, I guess. Well, I ask you, what is it that is keeping you from finishing your pleasure?
I keep overhearing in my mind, it keeps repeating in my mind, and I'm not joking right now, grab her by the pussy.
Mm.
And I'm just so disgusted by it, and it just freaks me out that a person who says this, who is a repeated sex offender, is our president-elect, that I can't, it has affected my psychosexuality in ways that I just can't bring myself to grab someone's pussy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In a loving way.
Of course.
Even in a loving way. Even in a consensual, loving way.
Yeah. I did see today, I mean, we're recording on the 5th of December.
Uh-huh.
Happy Repeal Day.
Yeah.
But in 2 weeks from today, the Electoral College votes. And they can say no to Trump. The Electoral College was created by Alexander Hamilton, by this nation's fathers,
for this
and founders,
purpose.
For this very purpose, which is to keep people who are unfit for the office of president out of that office. And there is an amazing op-ed in the New York Times by a Republican Texas senator or congressman who, or Electoral College representative, I don't know what they're called, elector, who was in 9/11, he was one of the first responders, and he wrote an eloquent and phenomenal op-ed talking about how he swore to uphold the Constitution and the United States of America, and he will keep that vow when he says no to Trump on the 19th. And I know 4 out of the 9 electors in Colorado had come out, gosh, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, saying that they would also not vote for Trump. So we've got some.
We have a Trump protester in the room.
And meanwhile, we have Ryan explaining to Trump what the Constitution is.
No, but yeah. Trump's not even interested. I mean, he's actively avoiding national security briefings. I almost feel like we should apologize to the listeners at home. You guys are probably listening to Radio Free Brooklyn to like not hear about this, but
right.
It's so all.
Well, maybe
pervasive.
they're listening because they do want to hear about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True story. As well. I just know for me, I guess, I'm very fortunate to be able to work from home and, like, pretty much control my environment. So I'm not...
Me too. I know how you feel.
Yeah, and I'm exposed to this stuff as much as I want to be. It's not necessarily in my face because I'm not on the train. I'm not walking down the street. I'm not in a bar in Cobble Hill when some guy comes up and fucking sucker punches somebody, you know, for speaking out against Trump. Like,
and you were telling me about the... What was it called? The... On the subway riders? The
strap hangers.
Yeah,
no, one of the, God bless New York City, there have been a couple instances of virulently toxic, loud, horrible men, white men, who are getting on the trains and, you know, saying super racist or anti-Semitic or xenophobic, you know, misogynistic stuff, and are being firmly removed from the train. No violence, but just like, nope, it's
escorted.
Your time to get the fuck out. And just, you know, not even escorted, because a lot of people, everybody stays on the train except for the offender. And he just gets pushed onto the platform, being like, this is your stop, man, you're getting off this train.
Damn. That's a really happy story, actually.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There are some golden moments here in New York City, man. I read the New York media very closely, and I'm always very happy.
Yeah, I was talking
like,
to Velocity earlier about this, that the alt-Reich is under the mistaken impression that they are in the majority, but they're not. You know, Hillary won the popular vote, and
by 2 million votes.
By 2.5 million at this count.
Holy shit.
And the Trump supporters are not predominantly racist, are not predominantly misogynist, are not predominantly... But the alt-Reich, I'm so glad I got that term, are under the impression that they are. So, and I've used this metaphor several times, that these are the roaches that have been hanging out, hiding in the walls, that are now coming back, thinking that they're going to be accepted. But they're not. They're thinking they can go on the trains and yell these anti-Semitic things, and that they think that they're going to be, oh yeah, now that Donald Trump is the president-elect, everyone around me is going to go, yay! But no, we're saying, get the fuck out.
Yeah. And may we continue to say that forever and ever, amen.
Yeah, and that's been happening in our own burlesque community.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's...
Oh, may I, just before you say that, I want to just... you just took a really lovely, deep breath. I want to encourage all of us throughout this conversation to just breathe, to notice...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Take a breath, especially if stuff's feeling uncomfortable. I'm feeling that's actually an act of, like, radical solidarity with one another and within ourselves to just say, okay, I'm taking my body back from this drama. I'm taking my body back from, you know, this insanity that's going on outside of me. And I say yes to me. I say yes to myself. I say yes to my connection to my life and my aliveness. So I just want to offer that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For me, this is something that only came to light a few weeks ago when a friend of mine told me about it. But from what I've heard, it's sort of been out there, this knowledge, for, I don't know, 5 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
We have a performer that's been in our midst for a while, working alongside us in backstage, sharing, and is a complete out and out racist, bigot, misogynist,
loud and proud,
and anti-Semitic too. And everyone kind of sat on it. People would like to avoid drama. That's natural, and you don't want to sink to the level of the hater by contributing hate. But sometimes when that hater goes too far, it is important to speak up and a very dear person to most of us in this community was targeted on this person's YouTube show, for lack of a better word. And it's one of those, you know, go on a video camera and rant about your beliefs for a while kind of productions. And she had used actual footage of this woman's work in her propaganda speech as an example of, you know, the hideous feminists in the burlesque community. And this person's anything but hideous. She's heart of gold and a very special person. Her stage name is Jay-Z Bitch, and she was unfairly targeted. So a number of us in the community have rallied around her in solidarity and decided it was time to out Lady Alchemy, otherwise known as Martina Marcota, or A.L. Owl Kymia, K-Y-M-I-A, also one of her other profiles on Facebook. The people have so many profiles, don't they? So yeah, that's something we've been discussing tonight and dealing with this weekend. What are your thoughts on that? Anybody?
So for me, this is something I've been thinking about pretty consistently since the election. And I find myself being very guided to reading, basically, I mean, for lack of a better term, scripture from different religions, just to be like, okay, like, higher power, what? How do we get through moments like this? Because this is not the first time that this has happened. This is not the first time that the planet has seen stuff like this. Like,
right.
How do we maintain our light in the midst of such aggressive, dangerous darkness? And, you know, I have to say, I end up thinking a lot about it in very personal terms, in that from a shamanic standpoint, we can only heal in others what we've already healed within ourselves. And there's some beautiful stories about shamans who will go through lists of people and basically say, go through the ritual that these people need in their lives, which is basically, forgive me, I am so sorry, I forgive you, I love you. And just going through that and actually spontaneously, subsequently creating change in these people's lives. And so I want us, that sounds so silly, I want us to get along, man. But I do feel that we have a stark choice ahead of us, and it really does boil down to, are you pro-human or are you anti-human? Do you believe in the sanctity of life, in the sense of, like, water should be protected? Everything that contributes to healthy life that is already present on our planet, you know, versus money.
I can't tell you how very important it was that emotional rescue happened when it did.
Oh.
And I don't even know if you planned that.
No, we planned it this summer in the woods.
Well, I came up with the name.
Before even...
Emotional rescue. That was my contribution.
Yeah, but that was, at that point, I already knew. I said,
okay,
I want the November Badass Burlesque. I want that theme to be...
So, think about
emotional
the direction.
Rescue, all about crying and tears and, yeah.
And this was
great.
Before the election.
That was in August that we
yeah.
had that conversation. I
yeah.
made my mind up.
And that show was very cathartic.
Thank you. Thank you. I've always wanted to do a show where everyone was naked and crying.
But it really touched it touched on all these different experiences that a lot of us have had or know someone who has.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, Sweetie,
oh, you had people
Sweetie
in tears.
and Victor's,
oh, Sweetie.
You know, the
really
fact
ripped
that it's
heart out.
2016 and we're still talking about what people look like, bodies,
mm-hmm.
like orientation, all of that stuff.
Ageism.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, body shaming. Yeah.
And for me, it was the first time that I've done a political piece.
Oh, your act was
and
so amazing, friend.
Thank you.
It
but, and it was so difficult because my default is comedy.
Right.
Or being
although
weird.
Although I find your Abraham Lincoln piece to be pleasantly political.
But still,
it's funny as fuck. Yes. Yeah, it's fucking
but
rolling
this
in the
was
aisles
like,
thing.
Okay, no faces, no sticking my tongue out, no humping things.
Right.
I'm trying to honor this person's memory
right.
of a very horrific thing that happened. And again, horrific because it's one of those things where...
And who were you honoring specifically?
Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm. So here's this 17-year-old kid in Florida who is staying with his uncle in this gated community. And they have the stand your ground laws.
Uh-huh.
So you can carry a gun, you feel threatened, shoot the person.
Stand your ground. Yeah.
And, you know, no weapons unless you consider a bag of candy dangerous.
Right.
It is, if you're diabetic. But other than that, so I heard about that. And it's one of those things where Eric Garner, all these people, there's video, you see it. Oh my God, they shot an unarmed person. Surely they're going to pay for their crimes. No.
Well, just
today.
Walter Scott, who was shown in a video shot in the back by a police officer. The cop walked because of one juror. One juror said, "You didn't know this?"
No.
Yeah, the I'm sorry to be the one to tell you, but yeah, it was declared a mistrial. And for those who've been following this, I imagine you're one of them. I'm sorry to be the one to tell you that happened today. But again, it's 11 people thought and did the right thing. One person did the wrong thing, you know. So I know this is a horrible thing to have happened, but
it's
again,
like
I don't want that to be exactly. I don't want that to be reflective of how. Well, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it is reflective. It is reflective of how America thinks.
Judicial system.
Well, yeah. I mean, certainly with regard to percentages. I mean, how such a tiny sliver of people control so much, not beyond the 1%. But I'm just thinking like. I remember reading stuff and watching stuff about how the KKK has just infiltrated every single level. And, like, certainly as a white person, like, waking up to that and realizing that and has been a horrific, sickening thing.
When you say every level, you mean no matter what your socioeconomic background is, they're glomming on to this.
Yeah, but also
when
in government
I hear,
as well.
When
like
it's
the
no
KKK
different when
historically
you.
Has held many major political offices at all levels of government as well, impacting policy, impacting the delivery of the law, impacting the
but
course of justice.
You said that your feelings, you know, as a white person hearing
mm-hmm.
this, it's how it reminds me of how I, when I hear Muslim people talking about their shame over Al-Qaeda and just to be associated, to be aligned with ISIS or to be associated with that, like, they're not all that. That's a tiny little marginal fucking group. But
and
unfortunately, it's a blight on your skin color or your nationality.
Well, the funny thing is, I feel, you know, and again, like, coming from a more, like, holistic, universal level, the fact that ISIS and the alt-right white supremacy Nazi party, they're the exact same thing, just in different expressions. And it's like mirror images. Like, wherever there are humans, there are going to be percentages of different belief systems, different actions, different behavioral systems, different whatever. But just, you know, here we are freaking out about ISIS when we have...
In our backyard...
fucking terrorists.
Hate-based
criminals.
Yeah.
You know, people who identify with their hate and feel emboldened to go do whatever the fuck they want.
They feel
and
empowered
the law won't
by
touch
their
them.
Hate.
It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. And certainly for me as a privileged white woman waking up to that reality, realizing that my friends of color have been dealing with this from day one, their families have been dealing it from day one, and realizing what the fuck is actually happening right underneath our noses. I mean, it makes me think of that. There's this one prophecy about this whole time, like, you know, post 2012, the shifts of the world, the Kali Yuga, blah, blah, blah. talking about how there was going to be a dimensional split, and the third dimension was going to split from the fifth dimension, and it was going to be heaven and hell existing side by side. And waking up on November 9th, I feel like I woke up to the reality of America, and it was fucking 50-50. I mean, clearly now, like, later with other tallies, it's maybe, like, 48-52. But either way...
But still, when you walk out your front door,
one
you
in
feel
two
like
people.
You're walking into 50-50.
One in two people.
Yeah.
I mean, we're very lucky to be in New York, where it is... a little bit more liberal, but fucking Long Island's right across the bridge. Like, there's some, you know, they're racist everywhere. For all you know, you could have a racist living next door. Or, you know, like, somebody who's actively, anyway, I just, I gotta take a breath.
It feels very Weimar.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then when you find it in your own community, which I know is something that you wanted to talk more about, you know, what do you do? And what is the impact, and what is the danger also of what you're doing? You know, I know personally that when it comes to exposing people who are racist, my approach to it is never to suggest violence upon that person. My approach is to say, hey, you shouldn't employ them.
Yes.
You should not associate with them. Mm-hmm. You should make them accountable in ways that are legally and morally correct.
You're responding, you're not reacting.
Yeah, but the people who we are fighting will advocate violence.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah. To the lower baser natures.
Completely.
It's like that whole lower primal center of, like, you know, eat, fuck, kill.
Yeah.
You know, which is you know, and it's pervasive. I mean, you go, it's, but it's like, it literally is like two worlds existing in the same space, two totally separate thought forms, even though it's not two.
Lady Alchemy's boyfriend is head of a group called the Proud Boys, and they got together, they were all internet-based for a long, long time.
Well,
maybe not a long time, but they only recently got together in person.
God.
And within a short time, in their very first meeting, there were maybe 30 of them, a fucking brawl broke out. They can't even get along with each other without violence happening. So, like, people got their shit beat out of them, and then, like, 20 of them hung out afterwards and got matching tattoos.
Wow.
It's just, we're dealing with violent people. People who are ready to impose violence even on those who supposedly have the same viewpoints. So that's scary. But we cannot hide in fear.
Right.
We have to band together and use the resources that we have.
Right now, silence is death. Can't be silent.
No.
You can't idly stand by and be polite and silent and be afraid to rock the boat.
It's true, although I do want to encourage people, especially the more vocal people, to take conscious moments of silence, to reflect, and so that they can come from a place of response as opposed to reaction, because you can't solve a problem with the same mindset that created it. So I feel like going, and, you know,
you
fighting.
Can't go with pure passion. You have to throw down some meditation and intellect along the way.
But I just feel like it's more sustainable. I mean,
right.
It's, you know, if we're going to, if and it's, I just keep having these moments of thinking about how, like, this is, for many of us, we are being called into whatever we're meant to be doing in our lives right now, because this is a pivotal moment for our planet, for our country, for our communities, you name it. And to make the choice to do what we're doing involves an enormous amount of negotiation, an enormous amount of emotional, like, holy shit, what the fuck's going on? I mean, I know
you don't
want to
fight
moved.
Hate with hate.
Well, exactly. And it's like, but it's also from an experiential
level. But you also
level,
can't
like,
back
do
down.
How do I do this? Exactly. So it's like each moment, it's like, okay, what do I do now? Okay, what do I do now? For me, I know as long as I am coming from my heart,
yeah,
and physically, honestly, authentically, I know that I can do no harm, and I know that it will be the closest thing I can do to speaking the truth, if not speaking the truth. I mean, that's what I go for. I want to be here as as somebody who is, you know, I want to be light in this shadow. And it's so funny. Like, okay. I feel so moved to speak all the time. I was just talking to Lola the other day, and I was like, I feel like I'm being called into the ministry or something. Like, mm-hmm. maybe I'll apply to Yale Divinity School and just be like, fucking people, like, get with it. Wake up. Like, fight. Like, what do you want? Go for it. You cannot be hurt if you are coming from your heart. Sure, physicality, whatever, but, like, you read all the major warrior epics. You read the Mahabharata. You read the Bhagavad Gita. You read all these amazing things. The fucking Odyssey by Homer. You know, these are, like, the journeys of the soul, and it's breaking it down on such a deep personal level that all of that stuff can be applied to right now. It's like, do you choose to fight or do you choose to sit? Because if you choose to sit, you might get smashed.
Yeah.
You fight, but you don't fight fire with fire. Because right. you fight fire with fire, then you have a raging inferno that burns the whole world down.
Exactly.
You fight fire with water. Mm-hmm. Water, which is the most softest substance. Water which yields when you push your fingers mm-hmm. into it. It moves out of the way. But it can extinguish fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so... again, that's where I advocate.
You still
for.
Have to be prepared, though, for backlash, even when you do that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course. But there's, you know, the softest things are often the most powerful things. And water being the greatest example, which is always brought up in the Tao Te Ching,
yeah.
as the strongest force, because it yields.
What was that website you were telling me about before?
You have a...
Oh, yes. I do. Yeah, this was... Tell them about the website first. What is it exactly? How would you...
Well, when you had told me about Lady Alchemy,
mm-hmm.
I was taken aback, of course. You know,
oh,
that
I just
I
found out,
with,
honey. I was taken
who's
aback,
in
a, too.
Who's someone who's in the burlesque community. And so I wanted to do my homework.
Yeah.
So I dug. And I found that, yes, indeed, she has aligned herself with...
and she's also part of, like, as also the club performer community, too.
She has aligned herself with white supremacists.
Mm-hmm. And she aggressively promotes it.
Absolutely. And so if you're a regular listener to Radio Free Brooklyn, then maybe you're familiar with my show. So on Saturday, I called her out. And I called out a website that I had found in my research.
And how did you find this when you typed in? What did you type in Google to find this? What were the two words?
No, I did that later.
No, but still.
Lady Alchemy Nazi.
Yeah, you type that in, this is the first thing that pops up.
Yeah, I would hate if, like, anything popped up. If you typed in Faceboy Nazi, nothing should pop up at all.
Right.
Not,
oh,
like, the first thing that popped
everyone
up.
Everyone listening
when
is
you
now
saw
Faceboy
Nazi.
Nazi.
There was a curious spike in Google searches for Faceboy Nazi.
Yeah. Or maybe, like, yeah. if you saw that, you would find Faceboy Anti-Nazi. That's
yeah.
what would pop up.
Yeah.
But, like, nothing should pop up with Faceboy. Faceboy Nazi, unless it's anti-Nazi. So anyway, if you Google Lady Alchemy Nazi, the first thing
mm-hmm.
that pops up is a site, nycantifa.com. And these are really wonderful people behind this. It's they do tremendous research, tremendous good work. They are exposing Nazis in New York City, and they're also offering sites that you can go to support people who are needing your support right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's very well put together. It's very well researched. I'm very glad that I found them, and I strongly encourage anyone who is seeking these resources in the New York City area. This is the World Wide Web. You might be listening in Russia right now. You might be listening in Britain. But nycantifa.com. And
if I understand correctly, this is the first release of names. They have planned additional releases.
Absolutely.
It says part one. New York's alt-right part one.
Yeah, there will continue to release names of people who have decided it's safe to be a bigot in Trump's regime.
Just the spike in hate crimes.
Yeah. Oh, just like immediately.
Instantly.
Here, you and I, the three of us, grew up in New York City.
Yeah.
And when was the last time I saw a swastika?
Never.
Graffiti.
Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And that, because graffiti has all been, like, eradicated for the most part. In certain areas, it's art.
Right.
Bushwick, all of that.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's wonderful. But I went to three different places downtown Brooklyn, and I saw them.
Jesus.
Crudely written in whatever.
It was no artistic flair, I'm sure.
Have you seen the different things you can do to change swastikas into, like, Windows 98 logos? If you guys, this is okay, a pro tip. If you see a swastika, I mean, make sure you have, like, you know, a Sharpie or spray paint or whatever. You can easily turn a swastika into, like, basically four cubes side by side with the little, like, Windows 98, like, the little trail, like, the pixel trail behind it. A lot of people have been doing that. I really appreciate it.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea.
You can turn into, like, a tic-tac-toe board.
Okay.
You can turn into maybe a waffle or a hashtag.
Okay.
There are options. There are options. So,
anti-fascist craft work.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Totally.
I think you just got yourself a blog.
I have a little hashtag going on there.
Oh,
hashtag.
Oh, my God.
Anti-fascist.
Because there's so many wonderful... That's another thing. I feel like there's so many wonderful creative ways that we can combat this stuff. Because, like Faceboy said, it's a very
small percentage
of the population at large. And as a result, you can make a meme.
Yeah.
You know? Or it's like... Just... There's so many we haven't lost anything.
No.
We may have lost faith. We may have lost hope.
Maybe have lost
right
a few
now,
friends.
Right
now,
absolutely.
I don't know about you, but I have never blocked more people on Facebook ever since this election. This is in the last month alone, I have probably ended up blocking, defriending, all of that, more people than I have the entire time
there's
I've been
so
on Facebook.
Many, it's so crazy to me. And there's somebody who said, you know, not since the Civil War have so many relationships been destroyed.
Marriages.
Torn apart. Marriages,
yeah.
Friendships.
Families.
I mean, it's just, it is a split and it's a crisis.
And this season, all the Friendsgivings,
mm-hmm.
events that normally happen just because you don't have enough money to go home
or
whatever
to,
it is,
yeah.
spiked. Because they're like, oh, I had a conversation with Uncle Blah Blah and Auntie Who, and I won't be going home for Christmas because,
right.
or Thanksgiving, because they said all this fucked up shit about people.
Right.
I'm one of those people. You know what I mean? Like, this is how you really feel about women,
yeah.
Grandma? This is how you feel about gays? Okay.
I mean, I am so fortunate to be in a family that is they're not necessarily super liberal, but, you know, sort of like a nice balance between, like, progressive and conservative, like, financial conservatism, but, like, strong societal, like, enrichment.
Socially
beliefs.
Progressive.
Socially progressive,
yeah.
Financially conservative, which is great, fine. And so I feel very fortunate to it, but it hurts my heart to think
yes.
about people who must be feeling so alone and so alienated.
Yeah.
And just like waking up into like, is this my fucking life? Are these the people that, it's like waking up to find out your husband is a serial killer.
Yeah.
And he was like this amazing, supportive, loving force. It's like, who are you?
Yeah.
Who
I know a few people that have cut off all ties with their families since the election.
And what the fuck is Trump doing with his cabinet? He gets together with Mike Pence
and
he says
nonsense.
He goes, hey Mike, who's the most racist lawyer in America? Okay, Attorney General.
Yeah,
that's basically how
Steve
he's been.
Bannon.
Steve Bannon,
fucking troll faced Bannon, crawled out from underneath his nasty fucking rock, and his chief of staff. I mean, please, Electoral College. The likelihood any electors are...
Isn't he Attorney General?
No, Steve Bannon is Chief of Staff.
Yes, of course.
No, Attorney General is yet to be decided.
So here's another thing to think about with the whole Trump and Twitter and Mike Pence and Hamilton. Think about this one fact. Of all the people who should have, could have seen Hamilton, Donald J. Trump lives in Manhattan. The money. He would have gone to see it. He did not go to see it. And we know this because in the tweet it says, My vice president-elect was disrespected at Hamilton, which I hear is overrated. Of course. Why would he go to that show?
Because then he would have to learn something. Oh, my God.
Did you hear about the woman who...
called him the fuck out on Twitter?
Yes. Oh. Did you read that?
Hallelujah. That was like a baptism of words. That was so good to read.
And you know what... Do you know what his action was that inspired that rant?
Was it the SNL stuff?
Yes. Can you fucking believe that shit?
Yes.
We have a president that is now going to be tweeting against Saturday Night Live.
He's hate-watching Saturday Night Live.
Totally. But the beautiful thing is, he's watching it.
Well, that's what I'm...
And tweeting about it. And right. Alec Baldwin is getting to get on Twitter.
But I love what his response was.
Release your taxes and I'll stop.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
What'd he say?
Release your tax returns and I'll stop. Crickets. This single election has impacted our planet. I mean, there are countries, people all over the world are like, oh shit. Like, oh shit. This is for real and this is scary.
It is, of course, global. I mean, I'm guessing Donald Trump had no fucking idea what our relationship with China was, because he doesn't have any idea about anything. And someone said, Taiwan's on the phone. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll talk to Taiwan. Cool, Taiwan's calling. He had no... Did he know what he was
Pakistan's
doing?
Pakistan's on the other line.
Do you think he knew what he was doing? I don't think he knew what he was doing when he took that call.
Definitely not.
And now
he's got a real estate deal there.
And now China is pissed at us after... what has it been? 40 years, I believe?
I think so.
40 years of...
peaceful coexistence.
That's a nice way of putting it, yeah.
Which had to do with, no, you don't take that call. He's like, oh, Taiwan's calling. Oh, that's so cool. I'll take that call. And then I'll grab some pussy.
Homer Simpson would have made an even better president.
Yeah. I would make a better president.
Of course.
And I'm a fucker.
All of us in this room would be better.
Even
president.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
And that level of functioning is of a whole other caliber and dimension. And it's so insane.
And New York City is going to be a disaster in the upcoming weeks or whatever.
Oh, my God. The whole Times Square lockdown.
What's happening?
Because around Trump Tower.
Because he lives in the city and he doesn't want to move.
Bill de Blasio came out. It was de Blasio submitted a letter to the federal government today asking for the Fed to pay for... not the Fed, but the federal government to pay for the cost of keeping Trump safe. Which is $35 million. Because Trump in his tower, with all the extra cops, with the roadblocks, with everything, is costing New York City $1 million a day.
Way more expensive than if he just got
off his
ass.
$1 million of New York City
taxpayer
money.
Because they have to also monitor all the calls and emails that go through the building. So all the people who live in that building...
And the Secret Service.
I feel bad for those. Anyone living near Times Square, I pity them.
They're not in Times Square, though. They're on 5th Avenue and 47th.
Right? And the Secret Service.
I guess for me, everything above 14th Street is almost the same.
Yeah.
The Secret Service needs to be in close proximity to the president, and so, or the president-elect, either one, and he's in Trump Tower. And... The rents obviously are out of the fucking world, So we have the Secret Service taking up a whole fucking floor of a building that costs so much fucking money.
Six figures a day.
Yeah.
Probably.
I wonder how that's going to affect the real estate in that neighborhood. It's like after 9/11, how the real estate in Ground Zero area, apartments got really
that
cheap.
That whole area, all of Fifth Avenue, is primarily
it's
going to
go
shops.
In that direction. Like
it's
the new
shops.
Ground Zero.
Wouldn't that be kind of cool, though, if Trump Tower real estate like just fucking took a dump?
Yes.
It was like $200 a month for a two-bedroom in Trump Tower.
Yeah. And another small silver lining here is a lot of the designers don't want anything to do with Melania.
No, poor Melania.
I cannot.
And she did not
I'm
sign
not,
up for this.
I don't think she signed up for this shit at all.
I am not a
girl.
Melania hater. I am not
I'm
a Melania
not either.
Hater.
I'm not either. I'm,
it upsets me when I see people like slut shaming her for her past pictures.
Oh no!
I mean, she's
her
so much a
career.
Victim here. She has to have sex with this man.
She made a choice,
whether she
though.
Wants to or not.
But she did consciously enter into the marriage.
Yes.
She kissed
him at least once. And
I
knew.
I know,
ew.
But I don't think
fish
she...
lips.
Yeah,
she
but
did
I
not sign up for the...
Shit.
No, hell no.
But I don't think that... I don't think that she knew that he was a rapist, and I will say that. And I'm going to say it again. Now she has to have sex with him, whether she wants to or not. And that sucks.
Yeah, dude.
And that's
but I, you know, I'm not opposed to what them here is saying about the designers.
I think that's wonderful.
I think
they won't. They don't want to take the gig.
Proactive.
Yeah. I agree with that too.
Reaction, not proactive response, I should say, to the fascist regime.
Yeah, that's not being anti-Melania. That's
right.
Being anti-Trump.
Right. Yeah. But I love that that's a thing they can do. Like, no, we're not just mercenaries. We have a conscience, all of this stuff. We're aware and we won't do this. We don't subscribe to this, so.
Yeah, the emperor has no clothes.
Ew, I hope he does.
I just, several
so
women have slept with this man. More than once.
More than several.
Ew.
Well, you know, there is a fetish for sleeping with gross dudes. It's
sure, money, man. Money, status, clothing kind of being set up. That's older than the sand. I mean, women have been doing that for time immemorial. But I do feel for her. I do admit I do feel for her.
Oh, yeah. Tyranny, I would say, is the second oldest profession. Next to prostitution.
Probably the first oldest reflex, whereas prostitution capitalized.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say she's not an asshole, but I can't say she is. I don't know really much about her at all.
Right.
I feel sorry for that little boy.
Oh, he's so scared and sad.
Right?
That's really heavy. I mean, for any kid who goes into the White House, I mean, do you remember how eviscerated Chelsea Clinton was?
Yeah,
I do.
I mean, no kid should be put up to that. I mean, just torn
they were
shreds.
Horrible. Yep.
Horrible. And it's
horrible.
Like
Chelsea was
early
like
adolescence when
to
you're like
a kid.
The worst.
Wasn't Chelsea like 12 or something like that? Yeah, she was
like
12
early
years old.
Adolescent. I mean, like
and
you couldn't
toughest part of adolescence.
And you
to go
look,
back to that
you feel,
time.
You know, awkward, and people
11,
were saying
12,
she's ugly. People were saying she's ugly.
Well, it happened.
And
with
one,
Amy
she
Carter.
Wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
And two, the fuck are you doing to a 12-year-old?
Right.
Yeah, really.
People.
Media bullying. Right?
Yeah.
Well, Femme Appeal, where can we find you online?
You know, the fuck
the
book.
The thing.
And the Instagram. I love Instagram.
Yeah, I do
it's
too.
It's picture driven. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're very visual people.
Yes, we are.
What is your tag name on Instagram?
Tag name?
What is your name? Your handle.
You can find me under Femme Appeal or Spider Monkey. Yes.
Spider Monkey! So you have two accounts on there.
No. I think if you...
I'm feeling moved to go to your Instagram.
If you search for Femme Appeal, then you go, are you Spider Monkey?
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Facebook.
You can find me either fist raised in defiance mm-hmm. or weeping uncontrollably at faceboy.com.
Legs Malone.
You can find me at legsmalone.com. You can listen to my podcast that's going to be resurfacing after a 7-month hiatus at lunchwithlegs.com, including here on Radio Free Brooklyn. For those who listen during the day, you're now going to hear something other than the same 3 episodes of my show that have been playing for the last 2 years. So it's pretty exciting.
Fantastic. Yay. I'm excited. Well, I want to thank you all for coming. I'm Velocity Child. This has been a very intense roundtable at Fallen Woman, which you can find archive episodes at fallenwoman.com. And we are so happy to have another season here at Radio Free Brooklyn. Thank you. There's a glass.
I got a glass. Yes.
Make
here's to all
clinky.
The nasty women out there.
Oh, here's to nasty fucking women. Yes.
counted me. 3 × 3 × 3
Child, every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon through opinions, humor, candor, and song.